Please be seated. In the Old Testament, we have this wonderful statement from God that God is making things new. That would include us today. It is a wonderful thing that we are not bound by the past, that we are living in the present moment, and that we look towards the future. This is something we hear in the Old Testament. It's something that we hear in Paul in his writings to the Philippians. It is something that we see demonstrated so completely by Mary as she anoints the feet of Jesus with the perfumed nard. Paul gives us a kind of a rundown of all of his accomplishments. And it's kind of like scouting. You know, when you get all those badges for certain things. So what he's doing is he's kind of got his sash out and he said, oh, by the way, if you wanted to know, you know, I was circumcised exactly on the eighth day because that's what the law calls for. And I belong to this group of people. See, here's another badge. And then I did this and I did that. And I have all these badges. Only to find out. And I don't want to say anything against scouting, because so let me just take all this back here. The point is that much like, let's put it into seventh grade, when kids kind of create their own badges of who's in and who's out, and you know how that all went, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade? Not some of our best times, I don't think. But it's like those people that have arranged all those badges and somebody finally comes to them and says, you know, they don't really matter. They just don't matter. It's not really a reflection of life. This rocked Paul's world. Literally, he fell off a horse. All those badges that he had accumulated, all of those things that he felt were making him righteous, were based on his interpretation, man's interpretation of God's law, and he missed the mark. He missed it. He fell off of his horse, bonked his head, and woke up. And what happened is he got an understanding, an idea of what it means to be in relationship with Jesus. He began to know Jesus, to know what Jesus stood for. And Jesus wasn't just a theory. Jesus wasn't just a nice thought or a philosophy or a theology, but that he began to develop a sense that God was in his life in a way that transformed his life. All of it didn't matter to him. He says, all of that I treated as rubbish once I began to know Christ. It is in this relationship with God, with love, that our lives are transformed and take on new ways of being in the world. When God says, I am starting new things, it is happening because in our life today, because it is about love, which is not something that is in the past. We can experience, have experienced it in the past, but love is a present reality. It is something that we express in the present moment. Mary, I did this at the 8 o'clock too. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, has had a rough week. Lazarus has been raised recently from the dead. She has gone through that whole grief process to have that turned upside down. And now she has dinner for lots of people, Jesus included. You can imagine what her life must have felt like emotionally, how raw she must have been to go through the death of her brother and then to see him resurrected. You can imagine what's going on with her. And here comes Jesus, who she is beginning to get a relationship with. She's beginning to know, not just here, but here. And so, here is Jesus. And she does something extraordinary and extravagant. She goes out and buys an aromatic nard. I know that we can get those at London Drugs, right? I'm not sure that I've ever seen a nard, much less an aromatic one, but it kind of scares me a little bit to think about this. But she bought a very expensive aromatic nard. It was the best that she could get to demonstrate her love, her relationship with Jesus. And further, she sat at his feet and washed his feet and anointed them with this very expensive nard perfume. The perfume filled the house. Absolutely filled the house. The perfume is a sign or a presence of the Holy Spirit. It's when you walk through a garden, and spring is the perfect time to do this, and you just on the wind catch a whiff. Now, I walked to church this morning, and I assure you that there were several whiffs. Some of them might have been psychotropic. Anyway, every now and then there was just that gentlest of fragrance from a spring flower. And, you know, when you walk in the city, you're never really sure where the garden is. So it might be behind somebody's fence, or maybe it was a beautiful bush up on somebody's balcony or something like that. So you don't really know. But here it is. That beautiful perfume. So this aromatic nard perfumes the whole house. Everybody can breathe in this gracious gift of Mary to Jesus. She, in her love of Jesus, is transforming the air that people breathed with that perfume. It's a deep symbol of the presence of God's love. She is so in tune with what has happened inside of her own life, and she is so in tune with her love of Jesus that she does almost anything. You and I know that when we love people deeply, extravagance happens a lot. And I'm not talking that we have to go buy the most aromatic nard possible, the most expensive one, because it isn't about that. The extravagance is found sometimes in simple things. I'll give you an example. When I was a school principal, there was a little guy who his mom and dad came and picked him up a little bit later than the buses. And so, you know, we can't leave him out in the front of the building without some supervision. So this little guy and I would stand out there on the days that, well, I was always on bus duty. You know how principals go. God, if there's a bus within 5 miles, the principal's got to be aware of it. Anyway, so this little kid and I would sit out in the front of the school, and we started looking for four-leaf clovers, because you have to keep kids occupied, right? So we're looking for four-leaf clovers. What do you think? Nope, that one's, let's count to four. One, two, three, four. Nope, that's three. What about... So we would look for four-leaf clovers, and on occasion we found one. So one day I'm not on bus duty, and my school, the secretary of the school, came in, and she said, Mr. Tarter, she said, little Billy wants to give you something. Okay. So here comes little Billy, and he has found a four-leaf clover. Now, if you know anything about little kids, you know that, you know, if they're under the age of 8, anything in their hands within like 2 seconds, they can hold it absolutely most tenderly and graciously, but there's just something about the energy of a child, you know? And so the little, here he comes down the hallway. It was a long hallway, especially for little kids. He comes down the hallway and he's just absolutely glowing because he's found a four-leaf clover and he wants to give it to me. That was an extravagant gift. I still have that four-leaf clover. I put it in one of my really thick theology books, knowing that it would be pressed. There are extravagant... There are extravagant gifts that we can give to the people that we love. This is what we're talking about today. Judas doesn't get it. He's a lot like Paul. He's worried about how much money is in the till, and not because he's concerned about the poor, but let's be clear about this, he's a thief. Now that probably is an editorial comment added in a little bit later, but it gives us an idea about where his heart is. He is not into this relationship at all with God. He's about counting things, whether it's merit badges or denarii. That's what's important to him. And so that's what he's concerned about. He misses the whole thing between Jesus and Mary. He misses absolutely the whole thing. He's standing there thinking, okay, $37.98 down on London Drugs, we could have gotten one at, nope, she's paid, nope, that was the big one. He's worried about that. He totally misses this revelation, the perfume, the wonder of being in relationship with God, the wonder of loving that recreates us and calls us to new things, calls us to be in the present moment. This is what we are about. When God says, I am making new things, hear how that is done through love. Know that as we get to know Jesus, not just hear, but see what love does in our lives, that we begin to understand, to feel, to know the presence of God within us, within our brothers and sisters, within God's creation. When you go home today and you step out into your garden, that perfume should speak to you of God's love. When you go home today and call your beloved on the phone, that giggle in their voice or the smile that you can hear through the telephone lines, that should speak to you of the presence of God. When you look in the eyes of your beloved, you should see God. I talked to you about a month ago that I gave away from my, you know, I didn't give up chocolate for Lent, so let's just be clear. I said to you that I was going to look for sacred space. It's been a very fun Lent to see that. So I'm offering you more sacred space today. It's all around us. Look for love. It comes in so many sizes and shapes and colors, so many actions that are magnificent, so many ways of being and expressed in the world. From a little four-leaf clover to a newborn child. Let us look for signs of love. Let us be people of love. Let us be Christ in the world.